testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.
I mean, they talk about Jesus like he's some, you know, positive thinking hippie. Have you ever read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? He's a whole lot of negative in there. And Paul wrote things like this in Galatians 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth?
Amen.
That tells you it's not intellectual. He used the word bewitched because it's spiritual. If you see somebody, I've said this before, you see somebody leave BBF and no longer come here because they, you know, have decided there's another church that they feel comfortable in and it does teach the Bible, then there's no problem there. If people stop coming because they move or live too far away and you only see them once or twice a year because of that, not saying that just because of Pedro and Bethany, but they, what'd you say, almost 2 hours to get here? You've been here more often than people who are 10 minutes away.
Amen.
But if it's because of distance and if someone moves or whatever, that's different. But there are people who aren't here now. And they're not here because they've been bewitched.
Amen.
This whole woke culture thing is being bewitched. If you fall under that nonsense, you're bewitched. If you think that preaching against sin is negative and we should have more, you're bewitched. If you think we should preach a more positive gospel and not call on sinners to repent, you're bewitched.
Right.
Doesn't matter what it is. It's not intellectual. It's not because they're stupid, although it is a stupid thing to fall into that. But it's spiritual. And I know some of you think of the TV show Bewitched. You know, remember that? About that? But that's not a bad example because that's what that show is about. They were always showing people who were falling under spells and potions and everything and doing things that otherwise intellectually they wouldn't have done. So, and that's what it means to be bewitched. Now that show's goofy and it's a comedy, but the very idea of being bewitched, it actually is a good example.
Yep.
Now look at verse 30. It begins with a word. Say that first word with me.
But.
And that means trouble. When God says something and your first word is but, that's a problem.
Amen.
Goats, but.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
That's the response of a goat. Sheep obey.
Amen.
And that, you know, the shepherd goes out there and he knows he has his little signals and sounds and they know the sound of his voice. And then you go in there and you try to pull the same thing off, they'll ignore you. Even to their death, they'll ignore anyone but the shepherd.
Praise the Lord.
But if you're a goat, you butt. And how many times I've sat and looked at somebody across the table, sitting right, I've stood right here two or three times since we've been in this building. Someone just doesn't want to go by the word, doesn't want to go by what the scripture says. And when I'll quote the scripture, I'll tell you what it says, and their first word is, but.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, Doug?
Sometimes one T applies, sometimes two T's apply.
Yeah. In this case, it's one. So again, look at verse 30 and read that with me. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of them. Now, we appreciate good lawyers. There are some good lawyers. There are. I know some of you don't believe it. It's like the kid who was at school and they were asking what their parents do for a living. And one said fire, another in construction. This little boy, she says, what's your daddy do for a living? And he says, he's a liar. A liar? Jimmy, don't you mean lawyer? And he said, same difference. And we've got the Alliance Defending Freedom is a group of Christian lawyers who fight to defend Christians in the courts of law when they're wrongly accused, and they're fighting on this whole corona thing and all the shutdowns and all that. But the fact is, attorneys are killing this country.
Yes,
that's right.
It's attorneys that make it so that you can't even hardly take your kid to a playground anymore. And everything has to have a waiver. And they're scared to death to send the kids back to school or open up businesses because if they get COVID, they'll sue them. That's the mentality all the time now. It's a perversion of the law that's just crippling this country.
Yeah.
But it says the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves. And focus on that word, the Pharisees there.
Yep.
They are Bible rejectors.
Yep.
Get that? Pharisees are Bible rejectors. In Mark 7:9, Jesus is talking, and he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your what?
Own tradition."
Your tradition. Now, in this context, the word tradition basically means man-made, man-invented, and they had rejected the commandment of God so they keep their own tradition. The unsaved, listen to this, the unsaved pervert this. And make Bible believers the Pharisee. If you take a stand for the Bible and they don't like it, they'll say, "You're a hater," you know.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And they'll call you a Pharisee. And that's the opposite of the truth. That's how Satan works. He flips, he's counterfeiting, he flips everything around. The Pharisee is the one who rejects what the Bible says. Am I wrong?
No.
Did you read that here?
Yes.
The Pharisees rejected the counsel of God.
Amen.
So it's the fact that the Pharisees reject God's word. It's not those of us standing for God's word who are the Pharisees. But that's how the world... Now, I'm not going to go into that in length. We covered that in a previous study in Luke chapter 5, verse 17 with a very tantalizing title. Who is a Pharisee? So you can look that up on your own. It's provided to you free of charge on the internet. And all you have to do is go to bbfohio.com and look up our Luke playlist at Sermon Audio. If you need help, let me know. I can call somebody to help you. But with that settled, let's look again there. It says, "But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves." Matthew Henry commentary says, "They rejected it. Would not comply with it. And it was against themselves." That's when you preach the gospel and they reject it, they're hurting themselves.
Yeah.
That's why you should keep preaching it. Don't get your feelings hurt. They wad that thing up and throw it at you or cuss at you. They're just hurting themselves.
Yeah.
And you're doing what God's called you to do. So keep doing it. Amen?
Amen?
And it says, it was to their own ruin. When you're preaching the truth on abortion, and someone in Bethany's situation decides to kill their baby, and then you stop and you say, "Please, please think about this. Think about what you're doing. That's a baby. You don't..." And they go ahead and do it anyway. Those women are the ones who are cuckoo. I'm sorry, but it's true. It's that we have millions of women in this country who are half cocked out of their heads. Psycho, because they're murderers. They have killed their own child.
Yep.
It's no different than if I put a hit out on one of you. I'd have to live the rest of my life with that in my head, in my heart, my conscience. That's what's going on. Now, if you talk to somebody who's had an abortion, they can repent and God can forgive that. But there's still going to be scars.
Yep. Yes.
I mean, just like if you set yourself on fire, survive, and then get saved, the scars don't leave. Same thing happens with abortion. But no matter what the sin, and our country is falling headlong into Sodom,
yep.
And you're preaching, "Don't do it, repent," and they are rejecting the counsel of God against themselves.
Yep.
Our country is falling headlong into socialism, which is Antichrist.
Yep.
The Bible teaches that you are to have your own home, your own private property. You are to work for pay. And you are, yes, to even pay some legitimate taxes to the government. That's all part of it. And socialism is theft. And socialism says everything belongs to the government and we'll take anything we want, and it's a satanic system that will be fulfilled in the Antichrist New World Order.
That's right. Yeah.
And as we call on people to reject that, they instead reject the counsel of God against themselves. He continues and says, they came short of the benefit intended them, and not only so, but forfeited the grace of God. That describes anyone not submitting to God's Word. If you here today have something in your life and God has confronted you with it, and you continue in that sin, persisting in rebellion against the counsel of God, you're opposing yourself. You are your own worst enemy. Henry continues, closes, says, they put a bar in their own door. And by refusing that discipline which was fit them for the kingdom of the Messiah, they shut themselves out of it. And they not only excluded themselves, but hindered others and stood in their way. That's the worst part of it.
Yeah.
Most of these people who rebel against God, especially if they've already been in the church and made a profession, better watch out. They're some of the most extreme and relentless servants of the devil.
Amen.
Paul talked about him, says, he lamented the fact that they'd become enemies of the cross. Not just in rebellion in some passive way, they are enemies of the cross. And some of the most outspoken enemies of Christianity today will give their testimony, and it will involve, at one time I was a professing Christian. Bart Ehrman, one of the most relentless attackers of the Bible, started out an evangelical profession at Moody Bible Institute. Now he writes book after book attacking the Bible. John 3:19 is the answer, but that's what you got to watch out for. We joke about ex-smokers. You ever been around an ex-smoker and they see someone else smoking? The ex-smokers are some of the worst people to be around. Because they're on a mission. And it's great that they stop smoking. We've talked about that. Some of you all have had that problem and try to give up smoking. I smoked for a few years and it wasn't easy giving up. God let me get a really bad bout of bronchitis and became chronic. And that's how I gave up my cigarettes. That wasn't willpower or anything like that. But you know what? One thing I tried not to do is then become a hound dog on people. And like every time I saw someone, oh, you should stop smoking. You need to give those up. Then every time they see you, oh, have you stopped smoking yet? You stop. And it's like, come on, man.
Right.
You know, you're not even that, you know, outspoken with the gospel.
Right.
But you're that way with cigarettes.
Right.
You know, but that's the way ex-professing Christians who rebel against God. They're like those ex-smokers. They try to start convincing everybody. They start their own blogs, their own video channels, you know, just trying to pull people out of Christianity. You see it all over the internet if you look, and I don't encourage you to do that because it's a waste of good time. But so what did they do? In this case, it was being not baptized of Him. That's how they showed their rebellion. It's different for different people, wherever you are in your life, and your walk with the Lord, if you're already saved. If you're not saved, you reject the gospel. But the Bible tells you what to do, and you will not.
Yeah.
It's God talking to you.
That's right.
I mean, if I'm up here quoting the Bible and telling you what the Bible says, you're not rejecting me. You're rejecting God.
Amen.
People, I've said this, I'm going to say it, I have to say it over and over through the years. The rapture tarries and God leads me here. You'll hear me say this repetitively. Several times a year you'll hear me repeat this. But I don't think I know everything. If I did, I wouldn't read the Bible. I'd just go around telling everybody what Greg thinks. I know I don't know everything. And I believe the Bible does. And that's why I preach the Bible.
Amen.
So someone comes and says, wah, 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 wah. And I say, well, the Bible said, well, don't quote that Bible to me. They'll do that all the time.
Uh-huh.
Like, wait a minute, this isn't my opinion. This is God's Word.
Amen. That's right.
Then they want you to answer the question, but don't quote the Bible.
They'll tell you that. Don't quote the Bible. That is a Pharisee. They'll accuse you of being the Pharisee, but they're the Pharisee when they say, don't quote the Bible to me. I've had people, can't you think on your own? All you ever do is quote the Bible. Bible, Bible, Bible. I'm thinking, what a compliment. I never realized that. Thank you. Because, amen, I don't know anything apart from God's Word.
Amen.
I mean, anything I know that is contradicted by that book, I'm wrong. But the Pharisee, man, they got a high opinion of their opinion. In some cases, the rebellion is simply an unwillingness to rightly divide the Word of God. They just will take Bible verses and rip them out of context and fling them on a wall and that kind of thing. But look at 2 Timothy 2. I want to look at that. We a lot of us have memorized 2 Timothy 2:15. If you were a WANA member, you'd certainly have heard this 1,000 times. But, and I'm not saying that in any shame at all, that's great. But look at the context of the verses around it. He starts in verse 14, says, of these things put them in remembrance. And above that, he's giving them the fact that the Word of God is not bound, and talking about salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory, verse 10, and so forth. Verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. There's one thing people do is they'll get hung up on a word or something and then just go, yeah, how many of you heard people, well, the rapture's not even in the Bible. Or the Trinity's not in the Bible. Well, the word rapture isn't in the Bible, but the doctrine is. The word Trinity, see, it's striving about words instead of looking at what the Bible actually teaches. The word Bible isn't in the Bible. So then verse 15 in this context says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is saying that if you're not working to learn the word of God and rightly dividing the word of God, then you should be ashamed. But if you put forth the effort and you rightly divide, you will not be ashamed.
Amen.
Now, read verses 16 through 18 with me. But shame, profane, and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You say, well, I'd never go to that extreme. You will. If you get away from God's word, you stop rightly dividing it, you may not teach that exact thing, but you're going to go off. I think, John, you said that this morning. You're just going to, you could fall for anything, and you will fall for anything.
Yeah. Amen.
And when you see that word canker, that's the same thing as what we'd say cancer. People who rebel against God's word and will not rightly divide God's word are a cancer.
Amen.
Every preacher in the pulpit who uses a corrupt Bible version, who doesn't teach the Bible, and when he does, if he does not rightly divide the word of God, that preacher is a cancer.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And he's malignant because he's spreading it. Seriously, you ever heard of, we talked about hyper-dividing Pharisees. They will actually tell you that only some texts in the New Testament apply to you, and some of them get down to almost like two or three books. And everything else belongs to the Jews under the law or the Jews in the tribulation period or something like that. See, there's some truth to that. There are times in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where Jesus is talking to Jews under the law. There's other times where he's talking to believers who are about to establish the church. There's other times where he's talking about the second coming. You have to take the context, and you can't just reject, because even if it's not to you,
it's for you.
Amen.
They also reject the new birth. Did you know that? There are churches who will tell you the new birth is for Israel. Because they hyper-divide, and they'll say, like Nicodemus was referring, he was under the law when Jesus said that to him in John 3. But there are things that Jesus said that then we know are for us today because they're then confirmed in the New Testament by Paul. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's the new birth. And over we see that in the epistles. But that's what they do. They reject the new birth. They reject repentance. You know, there are churches who preach the gospel, and all they do is say, will you admit you're a sinner? And they say, yes. Then, will you say this little prayer and you can be saved? And you don't have to use the word repent. But you do have to call on sinners to repent. You can say it by saying, you're a sinner. Will you turn from what you are, a sinner, and those sins that you're caught up in and your unbelief, will you turn from that to God? That's repentance.
Amen.
But I just say, why not go ahead and use the word? So you ought to, but don't reject it.
Amen.
They also reject baptism. They say baptism was for John the Baptist and his disciples and the transition during Acts up to a certain time under the Jewish church. I mean, they make this stuff up. It's just, they don't baptize people. And they reject the Lord's Supper. They don't even have communion. You go from one extreme to the other. One church will have it every week and it just becomes a, you know, repetition and all that. Then you go to other churches where they just say it's not for us today. So that's what it means when it says the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves.
Wow.
And it's gone on in several different manners today. Regardless of the reason or cause, though, rejecting God's word makes you a Pharisee.
Amen.
And you can have all of us fooled today. You can be right in this room or watching a live stream or wherever. You can have us fooled, but you're not fooling God.
Amen.
If there's something you know you should submit to one way or another, and you won't, you're practically, you're a Pharisee. And regardless of text, topic, or issue, doesn't matter. Rejecting God's word makes you a Pharisee. Doesn't matter if it's a hang-up of yours. Doesn't matter if it's something your family's believed for generations. Doesn't matter if that's the church you were baptized in believed that. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. If God's word says it, no matter what the source was in your life that taught you the wrong thing, it's wrong. And so, don't be a Pharisee. Again, Paul would say, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?
Amen.
Anybody rejecting God's word in any area of your life, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? So as the musicians come, we have one more thing. And that is this question. Do you need an attitude adjustment? Because God's word convicts you. And then all you have to do is repent. As a Christian, you repent of that attitude. You repent of what it is you're doing, whatever. And you confess it to God. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Unless you're one of those hyper dividers and they'll tell you not to do that. But if you aren't a hyper divider and you rightly divide, you will confess to God, I messed up. I've been wrong. And you know, God will say, well, say 10 Hail Marys and to our 100 Our Fathers. And, you know, go run around the church building until you pass out. And, you know, that isn't what happens. It's amazing. That's why we sing about it. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Why? Because if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All of a sudden you go from on the outs with God, back in. Now that doesn't mean you lose your salvation. Just like with my family, I have kids in rebellion. If they showed up today and said, Dad, I'm sorry for, you know, my rebellious attitude and I've made things right with the Lord. And I want to make things right with you. This is how I'm going to respond right there.
Amen.
I ain't going to say anything.
Right.
I'm just going to grab him.
Amen.
That's how God will do you. If you're in a sin, He knows your heart. And if you're sincere, you are repentant toward Him and you say, I'm sorry, Father. He didn't kick you out of the family, but you might have lost fellowship with Him. And what He'll do is immediately cleanse you. You'll be restored. You'll have that relationship with the Father. You can have that right this minute, right where you sit. You don't have to come up front and put on a show. You don't have to even say anything to anybody else but God.
Amen.
Now, testimonies are great, but nowhere does the Bible say that's necessary. You can right there where you are say, "Father, forgive me. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for doing that. And I ask you to restore." You don't even actually have to say that. I've had people say it, and before you even ask, He's restored you. Just like I said, open arms.
Amen.
You confess that sin to Him, He's going to grab you.
Amen.
You're back like this with the Father.
Amen.
But it's up to you, because He's not going to force you. I can't force my kids. I can't force the people who have left here. I can't force anybody. And that's the way God works. He's not going to force you. But He'll receive you if you'll turn to Him.
Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.
There is an ancient book that remains a mystery to most of the earth's inhabitants. It tells us why we are here, reveals the mysteries of heaven and the horrors of hell, and the hero is God Himself in our Lord Jesus Christ. Learn of the Ancient of Days by listening to Bible Believers Fellowship Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. on 91.5 Freedom